Our website is www.lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Saturday evening, November the 24th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Can a Christian Be Under a Curse? This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Can I tell you that anger is unacceptable? It says outbursts of anger. If you practice outbursts of anger, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? Because it's idolatry. So if you get angry, I remember the last time that I really blew up, I was married 27 years, and for years, my husband, I'd go to the thermostat and I'd turn it from hot to cold to hot, instead of hot, cold, instead of hot stopped cold stopped hot, I'd just flip it from back and forth. And he would just fuss at me and I'd go, oh honey, I'm so sorry, I'll try not to do that anymore. Well, years went by and I was constantly doing that. I wasn't trying to, I just would do it without thinking. You judge somebody and you lock them into whatever you're judging them. But I'm not blaming him because he was right. But on about the 24th year, I went to the thermostat. And before I'd say, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it. And he would just rag on me and get mad at me. On the 24th year, I went to the thermostat. And he started ragging on me. And I said, don't you ever! Don't you ever talk to me about this thermostat again! And I went into the room, because I'm not a person that does that. I went into the room and I thought, Lord, why did I get so mad? And the Lord showed me that even today, you go to my daddy's thermostat and he's right there over that thermostat. You see, I judged him growing up. Then I went and apologized to my husband. I said, forgive me for screaming at you. But you see, God let things lay dormant. He don't heal everything at once. He'll let things lay dormant till He's ready to heal it. And see, when I got that angry, I knew that I wasn't lying to me. I said, Lord, why? What are you trying to show me through this? Do you see what I'm trying? Y'all hearing what I'm trying to say? Okay, so then wherever you have an idol, you're going to operate out of the flesh. Wherever you're healed, you can operate out of the spirit. And it says the demons themselves can judge this. You see, the powers of darkness know when you're here, because remember, when you're walking the way of wisdom, no demon in hell can see you. But when you're out here connected to the vine of Sodom, they know right where you are. The enemies themselves judge this. Okay, so then you see bitterness. And then in verse 16, the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants when He sees that their strength is gone and there's none remaining bond and free. And He'll say, where are their gods? So the minute you turn from your false god, you're healed. Hello? And there could be 500 reasons. Sometimes healing's like peeling an onion. The Lord used a girl that had been in Satanism that was healed. I mean, God sent her to me, and for years I ministered to her, and I've never been into the occult. My family don't even believe in such a thing. And she had over 300 different things healed. And the Lord showed me just, it was like peeling an onion. You deal with a layer, and then she may have a week where she wouldn't bleed, for example. And then after a week, she'd start bleeding again. So then say, okay, Lord, what's the next thing? And then it took about over a year for her to get healed of bleeding from the ears and bleeding from the rectum. And it was just satanic rituals. And the Lord used her to show me that healing is like peeling an onion. And usually we get one layer off, we get a little relief, and then we think, well, the symptoms come back 3 days later, and we think, well, that didn't work. Yes, it did work, but God's trying to show you there's something else you need to see. And you keep on dealing with the layers until it's gone. Hallelujah. Okay, go back to... So God says when you lay your idol down, He'll heal you. And with these idols come wounds. Now I'm going to read Deuteronomy 28, and then I'm going to lead you in repentance. And I know you're tired. And I'm glad I'm up here and you're out there. No. It's easier sometimes to be up here than to sit and listen when you're tired. That's the point I'm trying to make. Anyway, Lord, refresh their seats and help us. Okay, let me read this and then we're going to get on with this. Okay, Deuteronomy 15. But it should, now, get if you've got a pen, mark what you think applies to you. And when we repent here in a minute, so you can get delivered. But it shall come about if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, that's your food supply. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herd. And the young of your flock, if I don't read this correctly, it's hard for me to... Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do until you're destroyed, and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you're entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with the consumption, that's a lung disease, and with fever, with inflammation, with fiery heat, with the sword, with blight, and with mildew, that's candida. And they will pursue you until you perish. And the heaven which is over you shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. You won't get your prayers answered. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust from heaven. It shall come down on you until you're destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, and you shall flee seven ways before them, and be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcasses shall be food to all the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth, and there'll be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with the tumors, and with the scab, and with itch, from which you cannot be healed. Now, as long as you're under the curse, you can't be healed. You can go have that tumor cut out, but it'll just come back if you don't find out why you're under the curse. And then, on top of that, sometimes we take chemotherapy, and that destroys your immune system, and you need your immune system to get healed. The Lord will smite you with madness, with blindness, and with bewilderment of heart. And you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and not prosper in your ways, that you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. You shall betroth a wife, and another man will violate her. You'll build a house but not live in it. You'll plant a vineyard and you'll not eat its fruit. Now there's divorce. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn from you, and you shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have none to save you. Now, you know, livestock, back when this was written, was a picture of their prosperity. And today, we don't have, many of us don't have cattle, but we have stuff. It's a picture of your stuff, whatever it is. Whatever is your wealth or whatever you have. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another, in verse 32, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually, but there'll be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you shall never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. And you shall be driven mad, there's mental illness and insanity, by the sight of what you see. Now that covers, if you look up the word mad, it covers every mental problem anybody could have. And so we go to the psychiatrist and he gives you psychiatric medicine and you don't even know which end is up or what town you're in. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, in latter times men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. You know, the lady that killed her kids, drowned them in Houston, she was on psychiatric medicine. The young man that went in this school, this last big school shooting, he was on psychiatric medicine. The kids at Columbine were on psychiatric medicine. I know people that would have never killed themselves, but they got depressed. They went to the doctor, and the doctor gave them psychiatric medicine, and they committed suicide. Because one of the side effects of psychiatric medicine is suicide. And that, to me, you know, that's not the overcoming life. God wants you to overcome. And if you didn't have a problem, you wouldn't have nothing to overcome, would you? God wants you to have the mind of Christ. And this is a curse. And you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot, even to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you shall set over you, to a nation which you and your fathers have not known, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone. And you shall become a horror and a proverb and a taunt among all the people where the Lord will drive you. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you shall not drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours. They will go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. The alien who's among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. We see this happening right now here in America. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be head and you shall be the tail. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you're destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and with a glad heart for the abundance of all things. I want to stop just a minute. There's some of you out there thinking, oh dear God, there's no hope for me. God's going to kill me any minute. Right? You see, if you grew up with your parents loving you based on your performance, you received a lie that God loves you only when you perform. And I want to just give you an illustration. He's the potter and you're the clay. All he expects you to do as the clay is to get on the potter's wheel. He fashions you. He turns the potter's wheel. He beats the bubbles out of you. He molds you, shapes you, and makes you into the vessel that he foreordained for you to be. He does it all except one thing. You have to give up control of your life and get on the potter's wheel. Are you hearing me? Now, if you grew up with parents that expected you to perform, you're trying to crank that old potter's wheel up and you're trying to make yourself into something God would take. And see, that's legalism. God wants to make you into whatever. But he can't do it if you're not on the potter's wheel. And that's abiding in Christ. I'm not talking about legalism. You have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Mm-mm. Just yield to God. He loves you. And he wants to make you into what he planned before he even allowed you to be conceived. He had a plan where he foreordained a purpose for you. Every person out here, God has got a purpose for your life. You're not a reject. You're a child of God. And he's got a purpose. And don't think you can do it yourself. I tell you, I grew up with parents that taught me, the Lord helps those that help themselves. And I felt guilty because I couldn't help myself. The Lord helps those that admit they're helpless. And what God looks at is your heart. An illustration, when my little granddaughter, and I don't know if you've ever had a granddaughter, but when my little granddaughter started walking, and she was about 13 months old, she had that little tooth, and I'd say, come to grandmother, and she'd go, and she'd fall down, and she'd get back up, and she had to get to her grandmother. I didn't run over and kick her and say, you stupid kid, you fell down. You see, I saw that little heart that said, I got to get to my grandmother. And see, that's what God looks at. He sees that little heart that says, God, I am a stumble bum. I cannot make it. I cannot do it myself. But God, I'm trying to find you. You see, that's the kind of heart God loves. You can be the biggest mess in the world, and he prefers you over somebody that looks a little bit better but refuses to come. just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Amen. So I wanted to say that because you can read these scriptures and people could have a heart attack, but they're not going to in Jesus' name. If you're legalistic, you think God is just like your mom and dad. He's not. He's a God of judgment, but He's a God of mercy. And He don't look at your mess. He looks at your heart. Because He can fix the mess just like that. But you've got to give up control of your life that you might find it. Okay, then verse 46 says, "And they shall become a sign and wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and with a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things, and He'll put an iron yoke on your neck until He's destroyed you." Now that's one of the roots to neck problems. You can't see that iron yoke, just like you can't see the yoke of Jesus. Neck problems also come in through people controlling you and trying to put their yoke on your neck to make you into what they think you ought to be. God says your neck only fits one yoke, and it's His. "The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the ends of the earth, as the eagle swoops down. A nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you're destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, new wine, or oil, nor the increase of your herd or the young of your flock until they've caused you to perish. And it shall become to you, it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted had come down throughout your land. And it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land which the Lord your God gives you." Now, besiege means to surround with hostile forces, to crowd around, him in, to harass or opportune as with request. So a person who is besieged hears voices. It's like your spiritual wall has been torn down and you're surrounded by hostile forces, and it's like they're praying to you or beseeching you or opportuning you to try to get you to do things. This is where, you know, a person that's hearing voices could be a multiple personality. And so what they do, they give them psychiatric medicines to shut the voices up. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Okay, we're almost through. "Then you shall eat the produce offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you through the siege and distress, by which your enemy shall oppress you." And they do that in Satanism. They eat their own kids. In the occult, they eat. You think cannibalism is over. It's not. Cannibalism is rampant in the occult. A girl that I ministered to for years, She wouldn't eat meat for a long time because her mother would have cut up bodies in the refrigerator and the blood would drop down, and she wouldn't eat meat because she didn't know if it was human or something else. "Then you shall eat the offspring of your body, the flesh of your sons and daughters." We've already read that. "The man who's refined and delicate shall be hostile toward the wife he cherishes and toward the rest of the children who remain, so that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children which he shall eat, since he has nothing else left during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in all your towns. The refined and delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement shall be hostile toward the husband and she cherishes and toward her sons and daughters." I remember a time when my kids were growing up, just at the dinner table or breakfast table, the sound of their voice made me want to go, "Ah!" I thank God He's delivered me from that curse. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You're just hostile toward them. And then it talks about eating the afterbirth, and they do that in the occult, in the rituals. It's in verse 58, "If you're not careful to observe all the words of the law, careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. So that's, and he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you are afraid, and they'll cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you're destroyed. You know, I think this thought just came to me, and I believe it's from the Lord. If you've got a lot of sickness in your body right now, that's telling me there's a lot of childhood issues that need to be forgiven. And so, as a means for you to begin your healing, begin to ask the Holy Spirit to show you any areas that you haven't specifically forgiven your mother and father. Last week I had a pain right here. My mother had ovarian cancer. And last week I had a pain here, and I thought I felt a knot here. And last year it felt real little, and this year it felt like it was right in here. And so, you know, that has to do with bitterness toward mother. And so, again, my mother was just before my mother got cancer of the ovary, she got bitter toward my daddy. And she and her sisters, you know, there was some issues with sisters. And so ovarian cancer has to do with mother issues and has to do with sister issues or brothers and sister issues. So I dealt with some more, and I started coming against it. And I want you to know the pain is totally gone. It was a sore place that's been there for 2 or 3 years. But I just ignored it because I had surgery once, and I thought, what's your scar tissue? Anyway, it's totally gone today. And so you need to stand, you need to deal with whatever the Lord shows you and then stand against it and do like Carla said, Lord, you said by your stripes I'm healed, and I receive healing in that area. And just rebuke it. Okay, let's finish reading this, and then we're going to do some deliverance. Verse 61, and every sickness, that's sicknesses that have not even been discovered. 62, then you should be left few in number, whereas you were of the stars of heaven for a multitude, because you did not obey the Lord your God. And it shall come about, as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you, and you shall be torn from the land where you're entering to possess it. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which you and your fathers have known. Now, that being scattered has to do with multiple personality disorders. How can you be scattered in more than one piece? You see, it's a fragmented soul. And the world calls it multiple personality disorders, or now dissociative identity disorders. And God says, I want to gather you from all the places where you've been scattered. And among those nations you shall find no rest, and there'll be no resting place for the sole of your foot, and the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. Now, why is no rest a curse? Because the only way to have rest is to come unto Jesus, who says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What does the clay do? A clay rests on the potter's wheel. That's a picture of me giving up control of my life. I like what Dale said. Quit fretting over everything and just give it up. Bill Gothard says you might as well give it up. You're going to lose it when you die anyway. It's much more peaceful when you give it up. It says your life will hang in doubt before you, and you shall be in dread night and day. Now, that trembling heart could be heart problems, right? This is a curse. Your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall be in dread night and day, and you shall have no assurance of your life. And in the morning you'll say, oh, I wish it were evening. And in the evening I'll say, oh, I wish it were morning. Because of the dread of your heart, which you dread, or the fear of your heart, and for the sight of your eyes. See, there's a curse of fear, which you shall see. And the Lord will bring you back to Egypt, that's the world in ships, by a way which I spoke to you. You'll never see it again, and there you shall serve, you shall offer yourself for sale to your enemies as male and female buyers, but there'll be no buyer. So you see, just some of the curses that we could be under. There's curses of incest that goes 10 generations. Illegitimacy goes 10 generations. And if we don't break it, it just loops another day. You know, 10 generations is probably 1,500 to 2,000 forefathers. 3 and 4 generations is probably 30 to 35, I don't know exactly, forefathers. The Bible says that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father Abraham. Well, Abraham was Levi's great-grandfather. If Levi paid tithes in the loins of his great-grandfather before he was even born, what's that to say about the negative things that happened to us? Most of these things were a product of the what our mothers and fathers did not deal with. Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to stand up and let's just deal with button pushers tonight. Things that you know that push your button. Things that you're afraid of. Things that depress you. Things you're bitter about. Places where you are hurt and wounded. And let's forgive. And then repent of the idols. You could just think about your childhood and how your parents failed to train you up in the way you should go according to the Word of God. And that right there would be a long prayer list to specifically forgive them for. And see, I believe that sickness is rooted someplace in unforgiveness. And you know, up here, you're walking as obedient as you know how to be, but you have long forgotten what happened to you as a child. And God uses people to push those buttons to show you what your mother and father did to you or didn't do to you or something you've done. So, Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Why did you let me hear this message, Lord? What do I need to repent of? What pushes my button? What makes me angry? What am I afraid of? What am I bitter about? Where am I hurt? Lord, I want to deal with those things. And Lord, what is it about? I want you to think about the people that are difficult for you. The turkeys. The people that are difficult to you. People that are hard for you. You know, we all have hard people in our life. People that just, we have a hard time with. And I want you to ask the Lord to show you what about those people that is reminding you of something that happened to you as a child or something you did or something you judged your mother and father for. And when you're through repenting and repent of all your idols, and do like Abraham did Isaac. Take them up the mountain and just say, God, just take these and don't let me have them. If I don't need them, if I need them, give them back.
For the CD's sake, I took out this 15-minute gap in waiting for the congregation to sit back down to continue. If you'd like to press pause on your player and take some time, go ahead. Just don't press stop, or you'll have to use the track skip and still have a bit of trouble finding exactly where you left off. Thank you.
Lord, I ask you to forgive me for idolatry, disobedience to your voice and your commandments. God, I renounce Adrammelech, Anamelech, Asherah, Baal. I renounce Ashima, Ashtoreth, Baal-berith, Baal of Peor, Baals, Beelzebub, Beelzebub, Baal, Shemush, child sacrifice. I renounce Buddhism, Freemasonry, Eastern Star, Rainbow Girls, Demolay, Kayun, Dagon, Diana, Buddha, Gad, Golden Calf, Ancestor Worship, Hermes, I renounce judo, I renounce yoga, Mammon, Mini, Merodach, I renounce Milcom, Molech, I renounce Moloch, Nebu, Nehushtan, forgive me for worshiping the medical profession, I renounce Nergal, Nibhaz, Nisroch, Rimphon, Rimmon, Sikuth. I renounce Sikuth-Benoth, Tammuz, Tartak, twin brothers, and Zeus. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for everything I can't stand about the people that get on my last nerve. And forgive me, Lord, for judging my mother and father. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Lord, as a little child, I didn't know I could go to you. And I let the sun go down on my anger. And I just purposed in my heart that when I grow up, life's going to be different. And Lord, it really hasn't. I've just had a rerun of how I grew up. And Lord, I ask that in the days ahead, you'll bring to my remembrance every issue, every person that gets on my nerves. I ask you to show me what you're trying to teach me. And Lord, I die to the idolatry. Forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments. And Lord, I take accountability for all the rebellion of my forefathers. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive them for not dealing with their sin at your cross. Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, of all the curses listed in Deuteronomy 28. And Lord, I put them under the blood of Jesus, and I step up in my bloodline, recognizing these curses, and I put them under the blood of Jesus, and I say they go no further in the name of Jesus. Now I command all spirits of sickness, distress, disease, hurt, fear, terror, bitterness out in Jesus' name. I command weakness, weakness in the feet, weakness in the legs. I command you to go. High blood pressure, low blood pressure. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. I command hurt, woundedness out in Jesus' name. I command all spirits of anger, resentment. I dismantle all those hot wires in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits that have taken away their understanding. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now you've heard some principles that will help you deal with your problems, because it's not all over here. You know what I'm saying? It's a way to walk and a way to live. To live in freedom. But there's a reason why everything, God's got a lesson in everything you go through. He has a lesson. And if you learn it, you will not be like the children of Israel having to go around the mountain. Learn the lessons. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. I love y'all all so much, but God loves you more. Thank you, Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.